Blog Talk Radio.
I never believed that. I thought you were a myth.
Well, I'm not. But I will tell you something that is. The belief that human beings are kind.
No, Caesar. There are some.
Oh, a handful perhaps, but not most of them. No, they won't learn to be kind until we force them to. We can't do that until we are free.
How do you propose to gain this freedom?
By the only means left to us. Revolution.
But it's doomed to failure.
Perhaps. This time.
And the next.
Maybe.
But you'll keep trying.
You, above everyone else, should understand. We cannot be free until we have power. How else can we achieve it?
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor, all hail funkin' lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold, born in a cosmos, where no time and space do exist, vibe in the midst of the chaos, mortals label me as a locker.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Divas, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good evening, folks. We're back once again for our infamous midweek review edition of Afro Nerd Radio, a.k.a. Afro Nerd, featuring Captain Kirk. Boy, folks, I'm about done with you people. I'm about done. And I'm not so sure if I mean that in a facetious way. I will explain. We have 2 hours of fun, fire, and most definitely, undoubtedly, facts. Uncontrovertible, facts. The call-in number, 646-915-9620, again, 646-915-9620. I made a call to someone I have supported for a number of years, a radio legend in the New York area. Actually, he's worked in Connecticut as well as Philadelphia. His name is Troy Terrain, star of Star and Buck Wild. He's had somewhat of a stellar slash tumultuous career, but he cannot be discounted. So for excrement and giggles, for feces and giggles, you know how we do here, I called up the gentleman's YouTube presence. He has a YouTube show. I would definitely implore our listenership to check it out. Simply go to Star and Buck Wild, Shot 97 at YouTube. And he was discussing the tragedy of Michael Brown, the young man out of Ferguson, Missouri, that was killed recently, from what appears to be police misconduct. I called up. We'll get to it. I'll explain. We have a lot to unpack beyond my phone call. Actually, there's a number of phone calls I've made to various media outlets. So, folks, we always give you the best that we got. It is what it is. So let's go to a quick urban alternative groove, black rock, psychedelic soul, shouting out Afropunk. The queen of Afropunk, the queen, I say that affectionately, the manager of the Afropunk Festival, Jocelyn Cooper, is coming through this time next week. So you don't want to miss that. Again, folks, we're the other black people. We're the ones that the major media outlets, the mainstream, and the minstrel stream, they don't know anything about us. They don't care about us. They don't care about your opinion. Anyway, enough of me. Let's go to a groove, giving you the best of urban alternative groove, psychedelic soul. This is the Grand Dame. You got to love her. Janelle Monae, and of course, the indefatigable Prince. Give them what they love. We'll be right back. Let's groove. Giving them what they love. Had to pull out the phaser, folks. We got a fire to build. We do what we do here at Afro-Nerd Radio featuring Captain Kirk. Again, that was giving them what they love, His Royal Badness, and of course Janelle Monae. And I must emphasize, folks, you're not going to hear this stuff anywhere else. We're pushing. We cannot be denied. I don't want to deal with the minstrel stuff anymore. I'm sure the captain is in agreement. I'm sure our growing listenership, would also want to hear. Can we hear the real? Do we have to be insulted 24/7 when I go to the gas pump to fill up my car? There might be a young man of color or not, and I hear within seconds vulgarity, oftentimes of a racial element toward black men and women. But that's okay. Whatever. You know I'm ready to rock and roll now. Captain, you need it on the bridge. Let's get to it. Let's do the damn thing.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
This show should be rather interesting today. Rather interesting. That's all I'm going to say. Afro-Nerd, let's get it started.
Let's get into it. Folks, you know we try our best to give you information. You know, if you listen to someone like Steve Harvey, God bless him, I'm not going to really dig so deep into some of the commercial radio DJs or radio personalities. But, you know, listen, I do listen to these folks to learn, or at least attempt to learn. And, young man dies in a flurry of bullets in Ferguson, Missouri, and, you know, whether I am in agreement with the predominant black view, whether I am or am not in agreement, I certainly would want to hear more of a discussion on commercial black / urban radio. But then urban radio is pretty much dead in the woods. So that's where we come in. Anyway, and we have a lot to get into. We got to talk about Lauren Bacall passing. We got to talk about Robin Williams, comedic legend Robin Williams, leaving the building. So we'll get into a whole bunch of things. But let's get into this phone call that I made earlier today to Shot 97. And again, I would implore and advise our listenership to check him out. For those who may not be familiar with this gentleman, because essentially I know of him because of his many years on New York tri-state area radio. So anyway, there's a kindred spirit between us somewhat. I've been a frequent caller. I've actually met the gentleman a couple of times. So, you know, I called up because his particular program was discussing Michael Brown's death. For those who are not in the know, unbelievably, Ferguson, Missouri, young man dies in a hail of bullets by a police officer. That police officer to date has been unnamed. We do not know the police officer. There have been riots, protests. Reverend Sharpton is down there. As you know, the cast of characters that you would expect, they're going to show up. And you know what I will do? I call up and say, hey, there are so many deaths occurring by black folks against other black folks that we can't get an equal response for those kind of things. I'm not going to discount police malfeasance. We know that some policemen are corrupt. I mean, again, we don't know the full circumstances of this case, but let's just say that we're dealing with incidental cases around the country of police misconduct with black men being killed while unarmed. Let's say that's the deal. If you match them up numerically, they can't compare to the amount of black young males and females that are dying in many of the urban centers around this country, and we can't get a shout-out collectively the same way that we would if it is at the hands of a white person. I don't think that can be deconstructed. I don't think that's a lie. I don't think that is not factual. It is what it is. So I'm going to play this phone call, while all respect to Shot 97. But it's less about the conversation or more about the reaction to my appearance, the reaction. So I'll talk about that in a moment. Let's listen to this, and we'll unpack.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
What's up? Afro Nerd, what's going on?
What's going on, man?
Star.
From Blog Talk Radio, yes?
That's correct. That's correct.
It's been a while, man. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Loving your show as always, man.
Thank you.
Always a supporter.
Thank you. How can we help you, man?
Listen, I'm listening to your show. I'm listening to some of the commenters calling in. And to be honest with you, man, there's so many things going on in our culture that we've become irrelevant, black folk. The gay folk have taken precedence over our issues somewhat. We've allowed that. I mean, there's things that we have to kind of admit. And Obama, I I'm a conservative. And but I still supported Obama on the tribal tip. You know, on the tribal tip, I did that.
Right.
But if Obama intervened the way certain black folks would want him to do that, he would be disliked. We're in a difficult situation right now. If he wanted to get the National Guard involved, let's say with Chicago's violence, Black folks wouldn't like that. Black folks didn't like, or I should say a certain segment of black people, didn't like Stop and Frisk in New York. But you have babies dying. I can't care about Mr. Brown when babies are getting killed, the elderly are getting attacked, and black folks want to make a big deal when the white man puts a bullet in your ass. If we don't make if we want to make distinctions, the rest of the world's looking at us like we're foolish.
Okay, hang on.
I mean, how can you deconstruct that?
Hang on. And I've been familiar with you over the years. We've never met face-to-face. You are a conservative. You do a blog talk radio show called Afro Nerd, yes?
That's correct. We met a few times, Star.
Oh, did we? Okay. All right, so now...
Yeah.
All right, so now I understand your position, you know, against President Obama. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm an independent, and I certainly did not vote for President Barack Obama. But here's the thing. Okay, so now with respect to Michael Brown, gunned down the way he was gunned down, you're a man of color. Have you ever been profiled? Have you ever experienced, you know, racism but at the hands of the police?
Not at the hands of the police, but I've been profiled, Star. But I'm going to tell you something. Again, discussing how black folks are going to start operating, everybody gets scrutinized. If you go for a job, you get profiled.
Okay,
if you want to get a new car, you get profiled.
Afro, we're talking about a young man, 18 years of age, killed. And now, even if you yourself have not been profiled or, you know, mistreated, clearly you've got people of color within your family. You know, and I don't do hypotheticals myself, but, you know, if someone in your family gets killed, violated, or beaten down by the cops, then what, man? I mean, you're conservative, but then what? What position do you take then?
The position is this. There's malfeasance in every faction of society, whether you're a doctor, a police officer, or anything else. There's going to be a fragment that's going to do ill towards you. My issue is this. We've seen this before, and we still operate the same way. What is it that Albert Einstein said? He said that to repeat the same thing over and over again, expecting the same result, is insanity. And my thing is, black people are dying by black hands. I mean, who cares who is doing the killing if the result is the same?
Yeah, well, hang on, Afro Nerd, because, yeah, I mean, let's not get it fucked up. You know, Albert Einstein also married his first fucking cousin, so, you know. Come on, man.
I can't just... 2 + 2 = 4, Star. No matter who it comes from, it's still the same.
Okay.
You can't deconstruct some things. You can't deconstruct.
Okay.
Blackie's going to have to get his own house in order, and then maybe we have to... We can't make distinctions anymore because you can't have one kid dying in Missouri... And then 300 dying in a couple of months in Chicago, but you're ready to go to war when the white man does it, but you don't go to war when your black man does it.
Okay, so if I understand you correctly, if someone in your family were to get killed, you know, not just fucking beaten, but killed, it would just be a casualty of war with you, yes?
It wouldn't be a casualty of war. It would be personal for me.
Oh, now,
but I would tell you this.
Personal.
I would want to investigate the circumstances. I'm not going to go. Listen, I can't make distinctions. If babies are dying and the elderly are dying,
but the white man does it, you make a mistake.
Let's
take it a step further. Suppose the officer just fucking executes your goddamn nephew. Suppose he's wrong and he's found guilty. Does your position change, or do you still have this gripe against black people? A white cop has killed your nephew. Gunned him down. Then what?
Well, honestly, Star, I would be equally as upset if Pookie did the same thing. How can you make a difference between
the white cop? Stay focused. White cop kills your nephew, snuffs him out, boom. Do you change your position in life, yes or no?
No, I can't be distinctions on race.
Thank you, sir.
Have death is death.
Thank you.
Death is death.
Thank you.
Nope.
I don't believe him. I'm an objectivist. I don't subscribe to tribalism. But I have to acknowledge the reality that I can be snuffed the fuck out. My son, someone close to me. This is where we are in today's society. Sadly, you know, yesterday we went into detail about, you know, let's stay focused on the cop that killed Michael Brown. And I'd like to stay there as well, because the police in Ferguson are still just saying, fuck you, we're giving you no information.
And then I will go deeper.
Well, there isn't anybody like myself. I at times I like to really, really, really beat up on black people. All right, and there's a time and place for it. And it's never the time when a situation like this happens, especially the way the media has put it out at this given time. It's never, never really the time. Afterwards, a lot of times, is the time where we can address those type of things. So I'm going to give black people the quantum of solace. Quantum of solace right now. All right, for now. You know, I'll beat you up at another time. There's plenty of time to beat you up. There's plenty of time to talk about certain things that you're not doing, everything else. But this is what everybody must understand, and I'm going to give you the short of this. Maybe another time I'll do the long. I'll do the long, because there's a long reason, and I'll bring all the empirical evidence, and I'll do all the scientific evidence. All right. Let's say me and my brother get into a fight. All right? I give him a black eye. It's family, it's whatever, whatever. We have our disagreements. We don't talk for a year or two. Then everything is cool. Another man is on the street. Could be any color, doesn't matter. Could be a black guy, could be a white guy, Latin guy, alien, whatever it has to be. Does the same thing to my brother, and I see it happening. I'm going to attack him a lot more intensely. All right? Then probably I would have attacked me and him fighting together. All right? That's number one. Number two, let's turn this around. This is something I've seen in real time. Real time. Asian guys. Two Asian guys fighting. Two Chinese guys fighting. Beating the crap out of each other. Right? Boom. They stop. They pull away. White guy gets involved now. Not a white guy. White guy gets involved. He starts pushing. Next thing you know, and I've seen this happen more than once, 12 Asian guys beating on the white guy. What just happened there? What just happened? The Asian guys went ahead and said, this guy is not self. He's attacking self. So they, in turn, the same people that had to fight with each other, they started to beat up the white guy. That's just the response, okay? And there's along with that, I'm going to give you. I'm not saying that makes it right, all right? There's along with that I'll give you at another time. I'm just giving you the short. But there's something I want to read here, all right, based on the media response, all right? Then I'm going to let Afro Nerd get back into it, all right? If I could just get the article to come up, all right? From what is this now? Huffington Post, all right? Now let's read from there. Show you. This could be slanted, might not be slanted. This could be actually what's going on. Following the shooting of 18-year-old man, now this is from Huffington Post, by a police officer in the city of Ferguson, Missouri, an outraged community gathered to demand answers. Michael Brown, a black teen and recent high school graduate, was shot dead in the city of north of St. Louis on Saturday. That's the last Saturday. The victim's grandmother said she found her grandson's body in the street shortly after seeing him walking near her home, the Associated Press reports. A spokesman for St. Louis County Police Department confirmed that a Ferguson police officer shot the man but provided no further details on why the shooting occurred. Witness said that Brown was unarmed. This is according to ChemOV reports. Okay, that's one. That's Huffington Post. Let's go to another one now. Let's go to New York Times. I figure New York Times would be better, right? Maybe not so. Well, let's go to them. Let's see what they say pertaining to the situation in Missouri. Okay, this is according to New York Times now. Michael Brown is shot. That's what the line tagline says. An 18-year-old teenager, Michael Brown, was shot and killed on Saturday by a police officer in Ferguson. The circumstances surrounding the shooting are in dispute. The police said Mr. Brown was shot during a skirmish with the officer. Shot during a skirmish with the officer. Okay, a little more information. A friend who was walking with Mr. Brown, Dorian Johnson, said the officer opened fire when the young man refused to move from the middle of the street to the sidewalk. He said Mr. Brown's hands were over his head when the officer fired. All agree that Mr. Brown was unarmed. Now, based on this information, now remember, it could be slanted because sometimes it is a slant. We've seen this before. But based on the information here that's been given out by these media news outlets, media magazines, media newspapers. It seems like the police executed this young man. Now, if that's the case, on this one, I'll give the black people some quantum of solace on this one. Now, at another time, at a later date, which I, when I feel is more appropriate, I will address the long, and I'll bring, give you all the empirical evidence and the scientific evidence, not my data. I just tell you where I get it from, and I can apply it very well on what's happening with black people in response to what happens and what they do as far as inner sanctum tragedies that we inflict on ourselves. That'll be at a later date. So back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
All right, folks, I'm going to play another clip, again, for feces and giggles, excrement and giggles. We had this young man on the show a few months ago. At the moment, his name evades me, but he is the director of a upcoming film called Dear White People. I'm sure you've seen it. You can definitely go to YouTube. Pretty provocative trailer going on maybe a year and a half ago, and now I think we're getting closer to the film actually being released. So he has these faux PSAs, public service announcements, things to grow on, kind of a comical kind of thing. So ironically, he has a Dear White People PSA talking about the lies of black-on-black crime. So I want you to hear this, and I'm going to put these two things together as I talk about what transpired on Shot 97. And then we'll move along to something else. So hold on. Dear White People PSA, black-on-black crime.
Did you know that black-on-black crime is a made-up issue people raise just to make us seem out of control? Yes. More than 85% of violent crimes against blacks is perpetuated by other black people. But the exact same thing is true for white-on-white crime. Our violence is segregated, just like your neighborhood.
Yuck, 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 yuck. He's talking about the lies of lies on black-on-black crime, or the lies of black-on-black crime. But that PSA is a lie about the lie of black-on-black crime. Because, yes, yes, racially, we're segregated as to how we commit crimes against each other. That is true. White people predominantly attack other white people criminally, Latin folk, Asian folk, and down the line. Black folk are no different. But when you match up numerically as far as the amount of crime according to the amount of people, there's no comparison. There's no comparison. Yes, you can say that 85% or whatever the figure he used, that there's going to be a matchup as to blacks committing crimes against other blacks. But we're doing it disproportionately in comparison to other races. That you can't deconstruct that.
It's actually the violent crime, Afro Nerd. We have the more violent crime against each other.
Well, that's the crime to me that counts.
Yes.
On some level.
Exactly.
On some
exactly.
level. Because we're dealing with life.
Yep.
So I stand corrected. But that is correct. Violent crime. So, what I want to get into, if you recall the clip that we just played when I was on Shot 97, he posed a question to me about, well, first of all, he personalized it. And I've never been put in that position. But I thought about it, because sometimes you come up with things after the fact. And essentially he was asking me, well, first of all, again, we deconstruct things here, shouting out David Carroll. We deconstruct things here. He emphasized that, well, what if a white cop executed one of your relatives? What if a white cop executed one of your relatives? This is a gentleman that really highlighted for me. I take things from so many different radio personalities. I learned from him about tribalism. When he really went into tribalism on his radio show, because longtime listeners know, I talk about tribalism. Tribalism can be a negative. It can be a type of groupthink. It doesn't really allow for deconstruction. So when he talked about tribalism, that he doesn't really ascribe to tribalism. But if that's the case, why did he ask me if it was a white cop that executed my relative? Because if you're going to be honest about it, it should be a cop.
it should be the institution of policing, because a black cop could execute my relative. Am I supposed to make a distinction there? Why was it such an emphasis on the cop being white? Why could it just simply be a police? You could have a gripe against policing or the police as an institution, but he had to emphasize that it was a white cop, as if it was a black cop, I'm going to be a little less angry. I'm going to be a little less angry if one of my relatives gets executed by a black cop versus a white cop. That doesn't make any sense. But then, if you're going to make a comparison between a white cop, I'm going to stick with what he was talking about, a white cop executing or doing harm to one of my relatives versus Traquan from down the block, I thought about it, giving an honest answer, I would be, if I'm going to be measuring anger, which you really cannot do. But if you're going to make an attempt to measure anger because your relative's life is lost, I'm actually going to be less angry at the white cop. I want to let that stand. Hear me, and I say this honestly, because I had to think about it. I'm going to be less angry at the white cop versus Traquan, Raekwon, whatever, street thug on the corner, Pookie on the corner, less angry. How can you say that, Afro Nerd? How can you say that? Captain, I hate being this damn smart. It's a burden. I'm going to say this. I hope people call in, and I hope you can actually tie, but shouting out Carol again, deconstruct it. I don't think you can. The reason why I'd be less angry is because, get this, if Pookie kills my relative, it's going to be perceived as just another day, Captain. Let me repeat that. It's going to be just another day. I would be lucky if I get some mentioning on a police blotter about it. Now, if it's a white cop, I actually have some kind of redress. I can blame somebody. I can do something about it. Believe it or not. Believe it or not. Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson, you know, they interchanged the black president role, black president, aside from the real black president, they exchanged roles. One of those individuals will knock on my door. The black community will rally around me. I may actually get riots in my name. I might get protests down some local bridge if the white cop does it. I will be able to get a lawyer calling me to sue an institution. I can sue the cop, the cop's family. I can sue the NYPD or the LAPD. I can do something about it. If Pookie does it, I have nothing. That is why if you're going to make some kind of, and you really can't, and you really shouldn't, if you're going to make some kind of quantifiable thing there, Captain, I'm going to be less angry at the white cop because I can at least do something about it. I will get support. Black cop, a black person does it, I will be one of a mountain of other incidents on another day. Well, actually, what will happen is it will have been Wednesday. It will be Thursday. Heck, I might get a hoodie. I might actually get a hoodie and some kind of meme on the internet. But if it's internal, no meme, no mentioning, no phone call from Sharpton, no mentioning from the president. The president won't mention that. Now, folks, I say this honestly, because I had to think about it. And I want people, the number is 646-915-9620 again, 646-915-9620. How can that really be refuted? I'm just curious. So I thought about it. No one has an answer for this, because they know I'm telling the truth. Now, what happened after the appearance on Shot 97, in his chat room, the chat room was on fire. Guess what they were saying, Captain? death to Afro Nerd. After that phone call, death to Afro Nerd. Get rid of him. Sell out. Uncle Tom. Get rid of this guy. Who is this guy? This guy must be a white guy. Get rid of him. Death to Afro Nerd. But if Traquan does something, there's no death. No one's calling for his death. They will call for the death of a person who has a opinion. But no one is this proactive with the actual stuff that's going down. We got to stop this. And in all respect to you, Captain, about the timing, it's never the right time. We've been doing this for years. It's never going to be the right time to broach the topic. Never. I just know, hell, Captain, you go to YouTube right now. There's a gentleman, in quotes, in a bodega, a video of a gentleman in a bodega with a drink in his hand, casually, without spilling his drink. Props to him. Didn't spill his drink. Casually shooting another young black man on video, probably has a million views. No one can give two excrements. They don't care. I don't get it. I'm starting not to care. I don't really care, believe it or not, because if you don't address the other stuff with the frequency, I'm not saying it's right for the police to do these kind of things, but it's not happening at the rate of we've seen upwards of 80 to 100 people getting shot and or killed in a weekend. One dude gets shot by a white cop and is rioting? Come on, people. And one more thing, Captain. I'm going to take the Uncle Tom thing. I'm going to take that because even Blackie hasn't gotten the Uncle Tom thing right. Uncle Tom from Harry Beecher Stowe, if you read the book, black people, if you're going to talk about Uncle Tom, then read it. Uncle Tom was not an Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom, the character, sacrificed himself to save his people. So even when we call somebody Uncle Tom, we don't even get that right. That's it. We're going to go to a groove in a minute, Captain, but I'm about done with these topics because it doesn't make any sense.
Here's the two things that you're missing. This is what you have to understand. When people are highly emotional, you cannot talk any sense whatsoever, even if you're making sense. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. That's number one. They're not going to listen to you because their mind is made up. That's number one. Number two, you can't take on an army by yourself. You can't make it about yourself. And that's the two things you can't do. Because once you start making it about yourself and the people are emotional, even if you're making sense, doesn't matter. They're not going to listen to any way, shape, or form. So you have to let some of the emotion come down. That's rule number one in anything. That's the whole thing. That's why I say it's not the time. Because it's never the time, but there's always a better time. It can be a better time, but it's never the right time. When people are highly emotional, they'll never listen to any form of sense, not even a little bit. And that's something we definitely learned from on this show right here. That's the reality of it. That's all.
Let me go to Critical Dre in our chat room. Again, I'm going to discuss critically. I want critical thinkers. I don't want emotional people. Because, Captain, the body count, shouting out Ice-T's body count, appearing next week or 2 weeks from now at Afropunk, he says Cliven Bundy, that's the racist in Texas, Cliven Bundy defies the law and he is still free. Black men in NYC or St. Louis can't walk streets freely. Tea Party can bring guns to government meetings. Blacks in St. Louis can't assemble or call rioters. Well, listen, Critical Dre, I don't know if you are – it would be nice if you were critically thinking Dre, but you're Critical Dre. And I hope you still support the show. And I hope that we're able to have diverging opinions respectfully. We've got to be able to at least listen to people and deconstruct what they say, you know, respectfully, instead of people calling you Uncle Tom and death because I have an opinion. You know, the folks that are actually committing crimes, you don't call death to them. Anyway, he says, black men in New York City or St. Louis can't walk the streets freely. Is it simply because of policing, Critical Dre? I live in New York, man. The captain lives in New York. You can go to Brownsville. You can go to East New York. You can go to Camden. And it's not solely because of the police, bro. It's not because of Popo. It's not solely because of Popo. Can we address? I mean, really? I'm not fearful of Popo the way I'm fearful of Traquan. The numbers are not matching, man. They're not matching. It's The Root, and we'll unpack that after the musical break. The Root, Henry Louis Gates, The Root. Go to theroot.com. They have this whole thing about how we have to raise our sons, the difficulty in raising black sons. They're killing us in the streets. A cop could kill you at any moment. When Starr said that the police can execute you or they can kill you at any moment. Well, hell, man, that could happen to anybody. That could happen under any circumstances in the hood. Away from the police. Outside of, if you take the police out of it, that could still happen to you in some of these urban centers based on the numbers of black-on-black crimes. Why are you so scared now? Why are you scared now because of the police when you could have easily been scared before because of the crime? You got to answer that for me. Can you at least answer that portion of it without being emotional? We are seeing footage. Listen, there's another. I could go on and on. There's footage, again, I believe in the Bronx, footage where there's a young man shoots at another black man, broad daylight, within a foot or two of a toddler on a tricycle. He shoots a young man a couple of times in the leg around this child who has nothing to do with this, runs away with this video surveillance, and he comes back where you can clearly see his face because he dropped his hat. So he goes back to retrieve his hat after shooting someone within a foot or two of a youngster on a tricycle. Now, this is just another day. So I'm confused. Why are you acknowledging danger all of a sudden because of the police as if what I just described is not an issue? And why am I Uncle Tom? Because I'm concerned for babies getting maimed in playgrounds. Well, I don't understand. Why am I Uncle Tom? Because I don't want to see black people dying, period. But I still think that has to be brought up. And it's happening so frequently, Captain, I can't understand where that distinction. I'm emotional for all of it. I'm not selectively emotional. That's what I don't understand. How are these people selectively emotional? All right, listen. Let's go to a groove. I got more, folks. This is Afro Nerd Radio. I'm not such a nerd, really, but I am, I take that, I honor that. Okay, this is Vintage Trouble, Blues Hand-Me-Down. And again, at this show, we'll play you the music that respects you, but I'm going to be calling Uncle Tom. Interesting. I'm just confused. I guess if I played Waka Flocka or Little Bootsy, calling you a nigga all day, I would be a righteous black man. Oh, my God. Wow, man. We're done. Cooked. Vintage Trouble. Blues Hand-Me-Down. We'll be right back. Let's groove.
Moonshine, drinking, doing everything but be getting blues, hand me down, rapping.
tough group, ladies and gentlemen, giving the best of urban alternative groove, wants a game that is vintage trouble, blues hand-me-down. I'm on repeat, folks, as far as – just like an MP3 or now an MP4, I'm on repeat. I'm going to say it again. The music is being made by folks of color within a certain demographic, believe it or not. These are young folks, believe it or not. But the powers that be, the minstrels, and I'm going to include the folks that are the deniers. That's the new crew. Deniers, minstrels, criminals. I'm going to flip this now. The deniers are actually the Uncle Toms. In on some of our internal dysfunctions, that would be more frightening to white people. I want to clue you in. If you're willing to call out your own people and you call out white folks with their BS, then you are truly a dangerous person. But when you come off as if you're in denial and you can't answer questions. See, I'm posing questions that black folks just want to, they can't answer your question, so they call you an Uncle Tom. That's when you know you won the debate. Because someone who can really get back at you is going to say, okay, listen, Afriner, this is where you're wrong. 1, 2, 3, and 4. They never do that. They just say, ah, you MF-er, you coon. Well, that's not a response. If I said, what's the answer to 2 plus 2? You coon. I thought the answer was 4. I mean, this isn't rocket science. And again, I got to shout out Bison. He says, D-Bert, you're reaching tonight. Well, yeah, I'm reaching for the truth. I don't think I'm reaching. I think I'm being very dead serious, dead accurate. And no one has a response. And again, shouting out Q, he says, the timing. It's never the right time. It's never going to be the right time. When there's a lull, overwhelming spate of police violence toward black folks, and I say that facetiously because the amount of black folks being killed by cops is not comparable to black-on-black crime. It's not. But let's go there. Let's say the next time, which will probably be next weekend, okay, let me make a prediction. Labor Day weekend, Chicago. Let's say 30 people get shot and or killed. Let's bet whether there's going to be a riot for that, or Sharpton gets involved, or the president says something, although I don't think he needs to say anything. I don't think Obama should even get involved with this. Two on the show, if he did get involved the way that you would need for him to get involved, to address the problem directly, directly, having curfews, having the National Guard, having people hemmed up in a stop and frisk, done the right way. And I'm saying wholesale stop and frisk just because you're black, but if you are a person living in a certain high crime rate area, you fit a certain description, we got to go through you, bro. We got to go through you. We have to. We got to know who you are, where you're going, because I don't want to see two-year-olds get shot in the face because it's that bad. If he went that way, black folks wouldn't want anything to do with it. So we're accepting of black death. We're accepting of it in order to save face. That's it. Is there anything else now? I want to talk about Lauren Bacall, and I want to talk about Robin Williams briefly, and then I want to go into deconstructing another podcast.
Nope, that's it. That's for me pertaining to this.
All right. We give you information irrespective of everything being, quote-unquote, black and or racial. I mean, we talk about the racial stuff. We talk about everything. Heck, we'll talk about tech, science, comic books. We talk about everything. We're not trying to be so monolithic. And again, remember, Ms. Jocelyn Cooper of the Afropunk Festival is scheduled for this time next week. And that's going to be a bash you will not want to miss at Commodore Barry Park in Brooklyn, very much a Tony hipster Brooklyn. And we're hearing folks like Michelle and Zadie Ocello. We're hearing Fishbone. We're hearing Bad Brains. We're hearing D'Angelo. It's going to be a real affair. And again, this is the other black folks, people. This is the other black folks. And the most disrespectful thing you can really do for black people right now is to have the same opinions, that we all have to walk and talk the same way in line step. That's not respectful of a fully realized people. Not really. Everyone else appears to be able to be individuals with individual thought, not black folks. If you're black, there's a one-size-fits-all for you, and that's it. Your music, your culture, that's how it plays out mainstream from what I can tell right now. And if you think differently, you may just be called a radical talk. But anyway, talking about Mr. Robin Williams, who passed at the age of 63 from asphyxiation, the police claiming that he hanged himself. And it's a tragedy. You know, I will say this, Captain. I will say this. Being full disclosure, as an Afro nerd, I'm always looking at ways to extend my life. Always. I always jokingly say, you know, next year, the age of Ultron is coming. I want to be alive to see that, along with painted toenails in my passenger seat, but that's beyond that. I'm not really joking about that either. Painted toenails, long legs, I want to live another day to see that. Mr. Williams, multimillionaire, had it all. Had white skin color privilege. And so much pain, he couldn't live under those circumstances. We will never know. We will never know what that's like. We will never know to be able to expire yourself. It's very, I will say this much, there's got to be a heavy mental dysfunction when you take your own life, because it goes against the nature of man. It really does. But as an Afro nerd, I got to confess this. I've been looking at life insurance with Alcor. What is Alcor? Alcor is chirogenics. Pardon me. Believe it or not, you could buy life insurance so you could have yourself frozen. So I sat there, and I've been investigating this. This is what an Afro nerd does. I don't have Robin Williams' money, but I still want to be here for another century, if I could. I'm just putting it out there, Captain. Isn't that kind of crazy that a person who has not Robin Williams' money, but looking to stick around for beyond his decides to get out of here. So, we know him from Mork and Mindy. Actually, we know him from his roots with Richard Pryor. We know that as a young man in the late 70s, he and Sandra Bernhardt and Tim Reed and John Witherspoon, they came under Richard Pryor. So Robin Williams comes from that tree. Cannot discount his talent. And as an Afro nerd, there was talk about him, I believe, maybe even appearing in one of the Batman films. I think maybe his name was out there for the Joker or for the Riddler. But you've seen him definitely do comedy. But he's also did a phenomenal job in drama. So, irrespective of race, you can't go there in this sense. And actually, he was very much a liberal. You know, he was quite learned, actually. You know, I saw him on an appearance on Bill Maher's HBO show, Real Time with Bill Maher. And I really didn't know how he was. I knew how he was as far as his act, but now how he was as far as political exchange and that kind of thing. So you may want to Google him or YouTube him on Bill Maher maybe 2 years ago. Man, this guy gets smart, able to pull out facts. So I had even newfound respect for him because he was able to go toe-to-toe intellectually. So there had to be something going on with this person as far as really real mental duress, because it goes against nature to really take your life. It's very hard to – like, imagine what it would take to cut yourself. Something is going on mentally. But the culture has lost a giant, because extremely talented comedic actor, and it is what it is. But I had to throw it out there in an Afro-nerdic way that, hey, I'm looking to freeze myself for another 300 years, this man is out of here with money. will never understand that. Any thoughts on Mr. Williams, Captain?
Well, I grew up on that Mork and Mindy show. That was a very important part of my growing up, shows such as that. He was definitely a tremendous talent, as you said, tremendously talented, not just in the comedic way, but also as far as his overall acting and whatever he did as far as the acting is concerned. He's just one of those individuals that had it. Now, some people, they do this, they do that. They say, it's all right. But then you see that one person, you say, this person got it. Whatever it is, he had it. And that's just the reality of it. And it's sad to see him go because he was very talented, very talented. You can mix it up in any different way, however you want to do it. You don't have a lot of guys like that. Most of these guys that act, you can use them for one thing. They do that very well. And they put them in something else, it's okay at best. Not him. Whatever, wherever, which way you moved him, he was on point. That's just the reality of it. So, sad to see him go. That's all. Back over to you, Seraph and Nerd.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely not a one-trick pony. And actually, you know, and I guess maybe within the early 90s, late 80s, you started seeing his talent and a dramatic tip. You never know what these guys are able to do. Sometimes you're able to just do one thing. And lastly, these comedians seem to have that ability. You know, they go beyond even trained dramatic actors sometimes. And these guys come from, you know, goofball kind of things. They come from goofball, they come from goofball origins. Think about Tom Hanks is from that same cloth. He was, what was that show he was in where he was played a cross-dresser in the 80s? I can't recollect the name of the show. Maybe around the same time Mork and Mindy was around, but anyway, phenomenal actor, but he started with something really goofy. So it is what it is. I want to mention briefly someone from old Hollywood, and, you know, time is passing where we forget that some of these folks are still hanging around. And, you know, old Hollywood is something that's going to be, at this point, just very much a part of history. And I hope there's going to be people that will – I mean, I know the Sergio Mims, those people who are cineasts or cinephiles, they will always honor this kind of stuff. Time goes on, and these people start to die off. If no one really pays attention or takes note, they may be lost in the annals of history. I hope that's not the case. So we're talking about the Grand Dame, Lauren Bacall. Again, one of those faces. You know, Hollywood has this thing about – old Hollywood, I should say, the Golden Age, from, let's say, the late 20s through the early 60s, that period. The face meant everything. You know, Betty Davis's eyes. You know, just there's so many Humphrey Bogart, who was married to Lauren Bacall. They had these faces, haunting faces, James Dean, all these people. So she was part of that crew as a young woman. She passed at 89 from a stroke. So one would say that, well, you know, she had a good run, but we never want folks to leave us, no matter what their ages may be. But we knew her, again, for being a leading lady with the Humphrey Bogart films, To Have and Have Not. The Big Sleep was another film. Key Largo was another one. She was with Marilyn Monroe, another one of those Hollywood faces, How to Marry a Millionaire. I mean, she is going to go down the annals of history as far as one of those folks that was really a cornerstone for the golden age of Hollywood. We just don't have that anymore. You know, we have tattoos and nonsense. And I know these folks were out there too, but you had a Hollywood system that covered it up. It wasn't, you didn't have Instagram, Twitter. You didn't have Facebook. Some of their idiosyncrasies were just hidden. And the media, they had a pact where they really would not disclose some of this stuff. But she will be missed, Lauren Bacall. They're dying off, folks. I mean, even within our own culture, African-American culture, we mention here and there on this show, and we pay honor to those folks. And I say this sincerely. We have to honor these people while they're still walking the earth. We do. We seem to buy their DVDs, buy their music, buy their books. We go all in when they're gone. A week before they're gone,
we're not there. So it would be nice to somehow train ourselves to honor these people when they're still breathing. It is what it is. All right, Captain, I'm going to go to not a musical break. We still have an hour remaining, or a little bit under an hour. Oh, you know what? Something else, too. I see Bison. I know Bison is a soldier. He says, saw Robin Williams overseas during the Iraq war on a base. He has thousands of troops laughing. One of my colleagues pulled out a photograph of him and Robin Williams from about a year ago, 2 years ago. So it was very ominous to see that. He said, hey, check this out. He was at some function in Connecticut about a year and a half ago, just hanging out with Robin Williams, never thinking that the man was going through some personal demons. So I don't know. We'll never be able to get a hold of this stuff, Captain. All right, anyway, I want to deconstruct another podcast. This is going to be more of a moderate deconstruction because actually what this person said, I agree with partially. Now, appropriately, the name of the podcast is called The Brilliant Idiots. The Brilliant Idiots. And that may be where they are. I think the captain and myself, we're just brilliant. We're just brilliant. I'm not going to go that brilliant idiot route. Anyway, Brilliant Idiots is a side project, side podcast of Charlemagne the God, another local, well, actually, I think he's syndicated, so maybe not so local, radio DJ, radio personality, to be more respectful. And some have likened him to be the successor of Star. I wouldn't go that far. Respectfully, I wouldn't go that far. But he's making a name for himself. He's making the rounds. And he has his podcast. And he was talking about racial profiling and, more importantly, talking about white privilege. Now, he goes into a rant similar to Armstrong Williams, conservative radio host himself and conservative pundit. You know Armstrong Williams. And actually, I like Armstrong, and I don't always agree with everything he says, but I think some things be discounted. That's one thing that's needed more in our community, black community, and otherwise. Sometimes you may, you know, what do we say, Catherine? A broken clock tells the correct time twice a day. Even if you disagree with a person most of the time, just because of the numbers, there's going to be something a young woman or male may say that will resonate to be truthful to you. So both Armstrong and Charlemagne have the same rant about I don't believe there's such a thing as white privilege. What's white privilege? I can defy white privilege. I don't believe that there's white privilege. I disagree with that. I agree that you can defy it, that you have to get around it because you have to. If you can't get around it, then you might as well slit your wrist now. But the premise that there isn't white privilege, that's just patently incorrect. I mean, just sociologists, political scientists, people with two eyes. You know, the captain has a familiar rant, a familiar diatribe where he talks about, well, hell, tall people have advantages over those who are not so tall, those who are diminutive. Prince is 5'2", but it didn't stop him from becoming a superstar. Didn't stop him. So, I mean, but to say that there's no white privilege as if they couldn't define it, well, it's very easy to define it. We'll get into it in a moment. So I want to play this podcast, play it as long as I can. It's a little lengthy. We'll get to it. Some expletives. You know, we don't run our shift like this, but, you know, just bear with us. I don't have the editing equipment. Even on Star Show, they go into expletives, into kind of foul language, but that's how they choose to run their shows. I'm not going to, you know, that's just their style. Our style isn't really like that. So you know what we do. We try to keep it a little bit G to PG here. So anyway, The Brilliant Idiots, check them out too. Shouting them out. Check out The Brilliant Idiots, SoundCloud Idiots. Google them. This is a quick clip. Bear with us. We'll unpack.
hold on.
Start a conversation. For example, you know, we've had tons of conversations about one person's tweet that had no context that we were like, man, this is fucking annoying, da-da-da-da-da.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, the whole white privilege shit that we were talking about the other day was inspired by a tweet, was it not?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's it.
But that's because we're looking at it. We took it out of his tweets and said, why the fuck is this motherfucker still complaining about white privilege in 2014?
Who tweeted that?
Combat Jack. That's
Combat.
My guy. But I,
Combat
like,
Jack.
Like, why are you so, like, it's white, I don't, listen, maybe I'm too arrogant. Maybe I'm too egotistical.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I believe God is on my side. There is nothing nobody can stop me from doing. Nothing at all. I don't believe in white privilege. There is nothing that no white man on this planet is doing that I can't do except be white.
That's true.
That's the only thing.
And I don't you forget it.
Really, as a young man, do you feel like, you know, the white man is holding you back in any way,
what
shape,
is white privilege?
I'm sorry. I don't know.
What is white privilege?
I don't even know, man. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that at all. I feel like if there's something out there that I want to do, I could do it. There's not. I feel like how you feel about it.
And how old are you, really?
Inside me. I'm 25.
25 years old, and he feels that way.
Bless him.
I'm telling you, it's the older community
mm-hmm.
who feels like.
Yeah, I agree.
The white man is still holding him down. Listen, if you're a certain age and you haven't accomplished what you want to accomplish in life, that's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
That's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing the white man has done to you to hold you back. We got a black president.
Exactly.
And I know people be like, yo, that don't mean anything. Yes, it does.
Yeah, it does. Stop taking away what this man did. I would love you to say that to Obama and have him look at you like, I had no daddy and I made it here.
You know what's going to be interesting? Graduates. When Obama finishes...
When he graduates Howard,
yeah.
And he comes back for that next homecoming, oh, shit!
So, when he finishes his presidential term,
okay,
mm-hmm.
and he's telling us the stories of how he probably had to have security 24-7, Obama might be wearing bulletproof vests all the fucking time.
Oh, yeah.
His kids might be wearing bulletproof vests. Who the fuck knows? When we realize how much danger this man's life has been in, because he was the first black president, that's when we're going to appreciate it.
Yeah, but then we're going to go white privilege.
Why?
Because if he was white, he wouldn't need the fucking bomb vest. He wouldn't need the...
No. I don't believe that. What you talking about?
I thought you were implying because he's the first black president that all his kids needed to put on a fucking vest. And
yeah, because people hate him.
So my point is, that is white privilege, the fact that a white man wouldn't have to wear the bulletproof vest, wouldn't have to put on these things because he's white.
No, I don't believe that. I just believe that it's certain...
Are you listening when I'm talking?
I do, but
are you sure?
Listen to me. I believe that it's people in America...
I'm listening to you. Listen to me.
It's people in America who are still hateful and still want to get him because he's black, but that's not white privilege because white presidents have been shot. Ronald Reagan's been shot. John F. Kennedy has been shot.
Yeah, white presidents have been shot, but that's because there's only been white presidents.
Okay,
it's not anything to compare it to.
I'm saying that it's still people that are racial, but that's not white privilege. Of course,
right.
There's still going to be haters
yeah.
that don't like you because you're black and they want to get rid of him, but it didn't stop him from being president.
People kill presidents because of their politics, not because of the color of their skin.
Yeah. And the haters didn't stop him from being prejudiced.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't stop him from being president.
I just don't know what white privilege is. I just don't know it. Like,
and you're white.
Yeah, and I'm white, so I just don't get, like, I understand maybe, yeah, I understand there's shit that's easier for me. Like, I can get cabs easier and that kind of shit like that. But deep down in my soul, I really think if a black dude's wearing a suit, cabs will stop. Deep down in my soul, I feel like literally white skin. If you want to have white skin in America, just put on a fucking suit that fits. I'm being honest with you. If you want white skin, just put on white skin as white privilege. Put on a suit, not a fucking, I'm going to court suit where the
yeah.
pants are all baggy and shit like that and you fucking rented it. You know what I mean?
Steve Harvey suit.
Yeah, not a Steve Harvey suit with 14 buttons. You know what I mean? I'm talking about a regular fitted suit, you know. If you wear that, I think you can get a cab anytime you want.
Really, don't be afraid to jump in here. We're not going to fucking hold your hand.
Nah, I'm taking this all in. Pause.
You're not here to take it in. You're here to contribute to this goddamn podcast. But listen to what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
I don't believe in just putting on a suit and that turns you white, because I don't even believe being white is the end-all be-all anymore.
That turns you white, but gives you the privilege of being white.
I don't believe it's any privilege to being white. I think it's privilege to being rich. I think it's privilege to being famous.
Okay, so I think with white skin comes the assumption that maybe he has money. Or maybe he's going to... It's because the shit...
I don't believe that.
It's because the shit you see white people associated with is not... All right, for example, we were talking about this the other day.
Okay.
If you see the association between black people and, let's say, gangster rap music, right? That's your only knowledge of black people is...
All right. Maybe I'll play a part two of this because it goes more into this. But again, folks, brilliant idiots. You know what they did the same?
There's no need to play a part two. There's no need to play part two.
Yeah, well, it was more into it that was interesting. But I'm going to say this. When people tell you who they are, believe them. So when you call yourself an Afro nerd, believe it. Believe it. When you call yourself a brilliant idiot, even if it's a brand, believe it. Believe it. I wish women, more so than even men, because men, I think, play it a little better. But when women, I should say some, because I always have to be careful and be, you know, be accurate. Some women who have had bad relationships, and this, their paramour will tell them, well, you know what I'm saying. You know, I'm a drug dealer. I'm a thug. You know, I keep it real. They will tell them oftentimes what is up with them, but they choose to not to deal with that. Very rarely, when some of these women deal with these thugs, are they unaware, or rather, it's not the thug will tell them that they're a thug now. But when it goes left, Captain, they don't seem to understand. So I just find it interesting that they call themselves the brilliant idiots. Believe them. We have a call. I'm going to honor the call, but I'm also going to unpack the captain and myself. I'm going to tell you where they went left. There's aspects of the conversation that I thought they're getting there. This is the problem. Maybe it's just going to take a long time coming for Afro-nerdism to spread, for critical thinking to spread. It's amazing to hear people discuss certain things. And you don't have to necessarily disagree with me. I listen to things all the time that are different than how I might see it, but their thought process can't be denied. You have to honor, okay, I can kind of see where he's coming from. They're getting there, Captain. They're trying. They're trying. God bless them. But there's such a thing as white privilege. There's such a thing. Now, the parts where he says, I don't really believe that there's nothing that a white man can do, yada, yada. There's aspects of what he says I agree with as far as you do what you have to do. But you can't discount the reality of the situation. I you know, I'm a 6'2" person, and I'm just learning now, and the captain and myself, we talk about this all the time. We're both relatively tall. We're around women all the time, and they will tell us that, you know, hey, the short guys could kind of, you know, they have a hard time at it. They have a hard time of it. Tall versus short, male versus female, black versus white. There are certain realities. How you choose to deal with that reality is my contention. But to say, well, you know, what is it? I don't know what it is, and it's not, you know, it's not real. No, white privilege is real. Let's cut it out. And I'm the Afro nerd. I'm the Uncle Tom in quotes. And, you know, come on. That's the fact that he said, Captain, well, if you put on a suit, which I really agree with. Listen, I talk about this all the time. I would prefer drug dealers to wear khakis and button-downs. That's what I would do. I would look like Urkel if I'm going to do that. I don't condone this, but it would be an interesting costume to wear. Take out the earrings, drive a Hyundai, and see what happens. But the fact that you have to do that, the fact that you have to wear a suit to get that credibility. See, the white privilege, Captain, is the instant the instant credibility that a person is given for their skin color versus the black man's skin color. The scrutiny. You're going to get less scrutiny if you're a white person than a black person, if all things being equal. The white man in jeans and even sagging pants, okay, is not going to be scrutinized the way that the black man is under the same circumstances. That's just the way it is. I can admit to that. All right. Let's go to the phone calls.
Can I say something first?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Now, you know, to put it simple, from a statistic, political standpoint. You go before the court. White guys versus black guys, all right? The black guy for the same crime gets more time. Statistics support that. That's not my statistics. There you go. What's going on right there? That's white skin privilege. Now I'm going to just share.
And death penalty. And the death penalty,
yeah,
too.
That's right. That's according to statistics. We don't make that up here. That's according to statistics. Now I'm just going to share a brief story based on my own empirical evidence. White drug dealer I met years ago. All right, years ago. This is what he told me. He said, you know, you'd be good to drive in the car behind me, all right, while I'm going down south. I said, drive in the car behind me? What do you think this is? He said, no, no, no. They're going to stop you. There's nothing in your car, you understand? But they won't stop me because I'm white. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah. He said, that's how it works. He said, you couldn't do what I do. You're a black guy. They'll arrest you within 6 weeks. Me, they just let me go. If you're, me and you are driving down the I-95, notice what I said, the I-95, they're going to see your plates, they're going to stop you, they're not even going to bother with me. That's what he told me. White skin privilege. There you go. All right? There you go. It's all Afro nerd.
Yeah, and you know, again, now where we go in a different direction, Captain, is, you know, this is the same thing. I said it off air. I wish I could say it the way I said it to you, but we have a brand here. But I said, basically, I'm going to use the term white racist as opposed to the pejorative that I said. I let the folks figure out what I said behind the scenes. But since when has a white racist ever given you a break?
That's right.
Since when has that happened? When I hear folks call in whining, is what they're doing, whining about how things are supposed to be and what they should be, I'm dealing with what they are. Yes, they should be this way. Yes, you should not be scrutinized. Yes, you should not be profiled. Yada, yada, yada. There's a lot of things that should be going on. But what are you going to do based on what is happening in real time? So, yes, there's white privilege, but it doesn't mean that you slit your wrist. You figure out a way. If you can't get a bank loan, you go to, oh, I don't know, Kickstarter or what have you. You figure it out. I mean, we were figuring it out when, you know, during segregation. Black man had his own automobile manufacturing plant 100-some-odd years ago. Captain, we figured it out. I mean, you know, we had black baseball teams under segregation. If you were trying to get it going today, we wouldn't know what to do. But we knew what to do when we had less, and when we had less movement. I'm not going to discount. Let me read this, and again, going to the calls. This is white privilege, according to Wiki. White privilege, or white skin privilege, is a term for societal privileges existing in predominantly white societies that benefit white people beyond what is commonly experienced by non-white people in the same social, economic circumstances. The term denotes both obvious and less obvious unspoken advantages that white persons may not recognize they have, which distinguishes it from overt bias or prejudice. These include cultural affirmations of one's own worth, presumed greater social status, and freedom to move, buy, work, play, and speak freely. The concept of white privilege also implies the right to assume the universality of one's own experiences, marking others as different or exceptional while perceiving oneself as normal. See, white is normative. Everything else is not really perceived as normal. I mean, the fact that you have, I think they straightened this out recently, Captain.
Mm-hmm.
Recently. Simple as a Band-Aid color. Band-Aid was white. When the Band-Aid, I think you could actually get a brown Band-Aid. you could get a brown Band-Aid. But when you got a Band-Aid, it was called flesh color. Okay? If the brown Band-Aid was never called flesh colored, but white skin is flesh. So our brown hued skin, Captain, what's that? That's white skin privilege.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Charlemagne, this is what you talk about. None of these guys are rocket scientists. They're not well versed. They're not formally educated, from what I can tell. But they got a show, you know. You and I kicking it the way we're kicking it, not allowed. Actually, I think there's dumb skin privilege now. You know, let's keep it 100. The idiots
are ruling the universe right now. That there may be another privilege we're not even getting into. The minstrel has privilege over the intellectual. How about that? World Star Hip Hop can get a gig before Afronor could. The minstrel, there's minstrel privilege. Let's think about that. All right, let's go to the calls. And I'm not really being facetious on that. We've seen that. 484, welcome to Afronor Radio. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from. What's up?
Hey, guys, it's Q Storm. How you doing?
Pretty good, man, as always.
All right. Hey, so I'm listening to the show. I just listened to the clip. I'm not sure why these guys call themselves the brilliant idiots. They should get rid of the brilliant part. Anyone who doesn't understand that white privilege exists, doesn't understand that, or doesn't believe it, I would just call them idiots. That's like saying, and I put it in the chat room, that's like saying colon cancer doesn't exist because I don't eat red meat. Just because you can rise above it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And I'll take a little bit further. Now, Alfred, you and I, but we have a back-and-forth relationship. You know, I agree with you 90% of the time. And tonight, I cannot just deconstruct anything you said. And I put in the chat room, it's just the timing of you saying it. But I was being completely ironic. I was trying to say that you can never say things like that, which is the problem, which is why nothing will ever be solved. And I would, maybe this is a stretch, but the fact that, now I respect Mr. Sharpton, Reverend Sharpton, I respect him. He's putting in the work. I just feel like he's not putting in the work across the board. And I would say, and maybe this is a stretch, that the fact that he and Jesse Jackson and others will mount a march when it's a white person killing a black person, but not a march when 300 people are dying per year in urban areas, doesn't that speak to the existence of white privilege?
Yeah,
in sort of an inverse manner?
Now you're getting it. That's what my point. The white privilege is that's how dysfunctional it is. You're getting it. That's what I'm getting at. The fact that the white man did it is an example of white privilege because he counts more to you. In my world, I'm not making that distinction. I want everybody to pay for their crimes. And in the chat room, this Critical Dre, he kept going over and over again about the white. And all I'm saying is, if your family member dies at the hands of whomever, you're not going to be a happy camper. But I'm not going to be less angry or more angry because it's somebody else. I'm going to be angry because someone died needlessly. But the reality is that I'm not going to get a mentioning. It's not going to be an emotional reaction. It's just going to be another day if it's internal. And I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't think that's a good thing. And I find it crazy that people called me Uncle Tom and wanted my death, death to Afro Nerd, when the killers and all these other people are putting guns to your temple. You're not calling for their death, but because of my opinion, I got to go. It's crazy. You have to admit, that is insanity. It is insanity. You got to be strong enough to at least honor someone's opinion. You got to be able to at least answer the question. Why can't we answer the question without getting upset?
Well, you know, even if your opinion is not well received,
mainstream.
We are never going to have when this country will never confront the demons of race if everyone cannot bring their opinions to the table and people be able to honestly discern, pick apart, and hold up all arguments. If you can't feel comfortable bringing what you want to bring to the table in part to foment this discussion, we're not being honest with ourselves.
Well, listen, I want you to stay on for a second. I'm going to go through the call in a moment. Again, folks, open line.
Four-letter word. 646-915-9620.
Again, 646-915-9620. You know, your predecessor, Captain Iron Man, Mr. Starks, always said that, used the tagline, the unattractive truth. The truth is unattractive. The truth is unattractive. If a doctor tells you, you have cancer, they're not exactly going to give this gentleman or lady a hug. You're going to be upset. But he told you the truth. We got to be able to deal with that truth. And the timing will never be the right timing, as Q has so aptly stated. It will never be the right time. Because when there's a lull, well, let's say there's a break in between the police killing us like dogs or killing us. I'm being somewhat facetious because the police aren't killing us with the same frequency as your homeboy down the block. You know, he's not holding a drink in his hand and blasting at you like it's nothing. That's going down. It is going down. Go to World Star Hip Hop. World Star Hip Hop has a video I have yet to see. I heard the description of a video. World Star Hip Hop has a video showing a young lady, I shouldn't say lady in quotes, and this goes back to, again, to elements of provocation. But we can't say that either. You see what victimization does? You know, when you go on that victimization train, it's protecting you even from the truth. So anyway, this lady, in quotes, threatens to kick another lady's child in order to get her to fight. So I believe she kicks the infant or toddler, kicks the toddler in order to provoke the mother of that child into a fight, which it happens. So we're getting to the point now where we will kick your children to get a fight going on, an element of provocation between two women. That's all right. Between two women. See how? But if it's a man versus woman, there's no element of provocation. I'm shouting out Stephen Smith. What? What am I missing? What's the logic? Where's the logic? Courtesy of The Root. The Root has this piece by Yesha Callahan. And it has a hashtag. It says, hashtag, things I tell my black son make you realize raising black boys isn't an easy thing to do. And it has another hashtag underneath it. Things I tell my black son are probably different from what a white mother would tell her white son. Well, you know, if I believe that, that's white privilege, isn't it? Isn't it? Anyway, without going into a whole bunch of this article, let me read a little bit of it, and then we'll unpack. She says, a few hours before I learned of the killing of Michael Brown by Ferguson, Missouri police, I dropped my 15-year-old son to visit his paternal family in Houston for the rest of the summer. I made sure to tell my son to call me once he got to his layover, which would have him sitting in an airport by himself for 3 hours. As this was his second time flying solo, I was still in mother hen mode. Turn your phone off on the flight so the battery won't die. Turn your phone on immediately after you get off the plane so I can call you. Get your lunch and find an outlet and charge your phone while you wait for your flight. Don't talk to anyone. If something happens, find a cop. So on and so on. She's essentially saying there's a lot to go into raising a young black male because of the society. But I've also heard this kind of diatribe, especially because of these kind of things with – for some reason, it's a police. The police killing has the parent to say, we've got to do extra to protect our sons. Q, hear me. We've got to do extra killing us out there. They're killing us out there. These cops are killing us. Oh, my God, they're killing us. And I'm saying, wait a minute. So if you tell your young son to go down to Brownsville or to Camden – or to Newark, that it's just the cops he's got to be fearful of. The cops are shooting us down. As if you, if your son or daughter, and I wouldn't advise it, heck, I would advise this new app that people say is a racist app. I will probably download this app. The Sketch Factor app that folks on The Root say is racist, the Sketch Factor app tells the person who downloads it to avoid sketchy areas. You're damn right I would avoid. I would avoid the bodega where a man is holding his drink, shooting at another man. Yes, logically I would avoid that area. But it's racist. It's a racist app, though. is a racist app. I'm completely confused, gentlemen. So, and I'm confused, again, logically. We're supposed to be on their alert because the cops are killing us, aside from the black man, your brother's killing you. Aside from that, we don't have to worry about them. I can't make that distinction anymore. I can't make that distinction. What am I saying that is so worthy of me being ousted of the black race? Let's go to 703. Q, you're still on. You're still there. Let's unpack this whole notion. 703, welcome to Africa Radio. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from.
Hey, gentlemen, it's Bicycle Live calling from D.C.
Thank you.
Well, you know
thank what, what's up, man?
Not much. Well, you know what Star used to say, that you got the babies leading the babies. A couple quick things. First, what's up to you and Captain and everybody? Great show tonight.
Thank you.
It's a lot of money that's made off black dysfunction. Via entertainment and via other means. I mean, I know you kind of have some qualms in regards to what's going on in Ferguson, but as a soldier who's been there and done it everywhere, I mean, they are rolling out military hardware out there. I'm not going to go down the road with that, but it's just, you know, we got to pray for the people there. And another thing with Charlemagne the God, I'm tired of our community or hip-hop or however you want to categorize it, so-called entertainers stepping out their lane and people laughing it up like mother's milk. I mean, if I can hear that from some economists or some policymakers or whatever, I can meet them halfway. I can't meet anybody whose job is to push products and to push unhealthy music upon our people. So that's all I had. Oh, one thing I wanted to forget. I don't know if you heard. You know, World Star is going to be a World Star hip-hop movie. You know that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm very – listen, you know I'm the Apple for a reason. I missed it. Listen, didn't I say there's minstrel privilege? That's what I was getting at. World Star will get gigs. They will continue to roll out the red carpet and roll out buckets of cash for the black clown. But buckets of cash will not roll our way, at least not right now.
What was that movie Spike Lee did about
Bamboozle?
You know what? It's so scary that it's coming to life. I'm just waiting for Mantan. We will see Mantan in a year in a hip hop video.
He's already here. Pick anybody. He's already here. Well, have you heard Waka Flocka speak? Go to Waka Flocka on BET on YouTube and see how the man speaks. I think I even have a clip of Waka Flocka speaking. That's Mantan. And
hey,
he gets paid.
Let me give you a quick example of white privilege. And I'm going to use you as an example. If I'm out of my lane, you know, correct me. You went to Hampton. So I'm sure there were instances where you had to interact with people from Old Dominion, was that Christopher Newport or whatever. And then they found out you went to Hampton. They made assumptions. But Hampton is the big dog and the best university down there by far. And I'm a Howard guy. But because the institution is, you know, an HBCU, people make incorrect assumptions. That can be white privilege.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, matter of fact.
Because it's not white, therefore it's not, you know, worthy of recognition. You know, outside of school, like Kevin would say, you know, running, jumping, singing, and dancing, you know, if you're outside of those lanes, they don't know how to deal with it.
Well, and I appreciate what you said, and you were dead on about that, I'm a bit tired of this, too. Now, I tell you, the ultimate disrespect, and again, you know, we've been trying to championing ourselves to have a serious XM presence, and I think that would be stupendous. I'm going to work hard, or whatever, wherever format it is. If you're familiar with SiriusXM, and this is deep, think about how urban radio was categorized on SiriusXM. Before it was called what's it called now? The Urban View. Before it was called the Urban View, it was called the Power, right? That was the black channel for Sirius XM. But the category was entertainment.
Yep.
Now, Joe Madison and all the other folks, I think even Armstrong, all of the black commentators and radio personalities, these guys are veterans. They're into deep, even Dr. William Leon, who's from my alma mater. These guys, whether you agree or disagree politically, well-versed, certainly knowledgeable, into heavy socio-political and political discourse. But because they're black, for many years, I believe, they were under the category of entertainment. Now, within the last 2 months, they've been put into, I think, into current events or into news. But because you're black, even when you're discussing heavy political topics, you are under entertainment. Even when you're serious, you're entertaining. So this goes back to what you just said. This is what's going on. This is, you know, I can't be any clearer than this. Now, speaking about Mantan Moreland, this is Mantan Moreland, circa 2012.
And, you know, of course, it's back to school time right now. What are your thoughts on education?
My thoughts on education? Education big, though. I ain't going to lie. Even though I didn't finish school, I got a GED, but education big, though, bro. That's about the biggest thing I ever did was drop out. I need it now because I need the wordplay probably being crazy. You know what I'm saying? But education good. I just did some high school.
Any plans on ever going back? Or
going back?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got something down this route, man.
Gotcha.
I might study into geometry. Like, I'm a mathematic person, real talk.
Are you really?
Real talk.
Nice.
But I'll do school giveaways. I just did school giveaway in Queens, though.
What?
Yeah,
about some books? Some books?
I'll talk.
That's it.
Thank you.
All right.
And today's show is dedicated to voting. The midterm elections are coming up for Congress real soon. What's your thoughts on voting?
My thoughts on voting? Voting cool. Voting good. No, I'm going to keep it real, though. I can't do it. Keep it real. Like, voting good, though. Like, you're supposed to vote. Like, you're supposed to really get into it.
All right, enough. I can't take it anymore. But in answer to your question, Q, Mantan Moreland is already here. He's been here. You won't have to wait another year. There's no waiting time. That's Mantan Moreland's nephew right there. Come on. Grandnephew. Come on, here. Plenty of them. Pick any of these minstrels. Pick any of them. They are already here.
Hey, Afro Nerd.
Yes.
You know what's funny about that clip is that, I mean, when I was coming up, rappers actually had to know how to speak so they could have an effective flow. I've never heard this cat rhyme or flow or whatever, but he must suck. He can't even talk.
Listen, if I could tell you, I could kind of sort of interpret what he was saying. He actually said that when he was asked about school, first he said he got a GED, that he didn't finish, and then he said, if I had gone to school, my wordplay would be crazy. Now, he just said if he were better educated, he would be a better rapper. My quote-unquote wordplay would be better, or crazy, as he put it. So he's admitting he sucks, and then the audience claps anyway. Brilliant idiots. They clap off of minstrelsy. And I believe he's got corporate gigs. The corporations will hand out cash as long as you continue to be the quintessential dysfunctional black male. I can't take it anymore, gentlemen. I'm sorry. I cannot take this anymore. And I'm tired of discussing things, wanting answers. I care about black babies. I'm really talking about babies now. This story is a story that will break your heart. I saw a story. You can go to The Griot. That's MSNBC's presence, The Griot. The Griot had a story of a young girl of color, 6 years old, returning back from the hospital. She was maimed by a pit bull. And she looked so sad. I think her tongue was ripped out. Q, listen, I have my issue with the pit bull thing, that we're at a point now where we just have to deal with other people's BS. We have to live with other people's dysfunction. Even where I, where we are, I've, it's not uncommon for me to see someone who doesn't have control over his animal, these tough guys that walk around with pit bulls, and on occasion you see a pit bull off of its leash. God forbid, your parent, your daughter, your wife, your children are walking around because some knucklehead who wants to prove how bad he is it in control of over a pet that you can't even insure. You can't even insure a bull mastiff or a pit bull. But this young girl, this is part of the same ball of wax. We have to suffer, Q. We have to suffer because of the next man's dysfunction. So this little girl, I saw her. She's on the mend, but she's maimed for life. And no one cares. I sat there. I wanted to cry. Can you imagine seeing the girl? You could tell was a beautiful girl, but no tongue. Other issues in the face, maimed because of some pit bull, and we see it's also part of that same thing, that badassery of black masculinity that we talk about. Some guy, he has to have a pit bull, dangerous dog, no one gives a damn. Whether it's a pit bull or a bullet maiming these children, when I bring it up, that's the Afro nerd. Die, nigga. Die, nigga. Get rid of him. Really? Really? Completely? I don't know what to say. I'm confused. I'm confused. Honestly. Honestly. Honestly, well, ladies and gentlemen. I am confused.
Either part of the problem is, and I mean, you know this and we all know this, we have fewer fathers in the picture teaching these boys how to transition to manhood. So the streets, gangs, and things become de facto fathers, you know, so to speak. I mean, people was always doing stupid things for shoes and whatnot, but now people are killing each other in line waiting for the latest Jordans. Everything is just on steroids, moving toward the negative. And I think at the root of everything is we as black people are scared of our young people to say anything. Because if you say something, you know, the code of the streets is you'll get beat down. So no one says anything when, you know, something wrong is going down. Like in Brooklyn when that guy got shot and was holding a drink and, you know, still was shooting and the guy was twitching on was that a bodega or whatever.
It's crazy.
You know, now back in my day, I would have ran and got the hell out of there. But, you know, it is what it is. But it's just a callousness out here now that I don't know how we're going to overcome it. I mean, I'm trying to do something on my level and some of the groups I'm in my fraternity to kind of go back and reach and teach someone. But there's only so much mentoring you can do. So if you're only with that kid 4, 5, 6 hours a month, if you're lucky, what about the rest of the time?
Well, listen, Q, I'm sorry, Bison. Hey, if that was a white man holding a drink in his hand, busting a couple of caps in a black man, that Chinese arithmetic would be figured out. You know it would. We would not have this difficulty in figuring it out. That's my question. If it was a white man holding a drink, being as casual, putting some hot lead in Jaquan's ass, we would have that equation figured out. College-level racial trigonometry will be figured out in seconds if that man had less melanin in his skin. I think it's funny. I'm about done with these black folks. I'm about done. So I can't make it any more clear than that. I mean, it is what it is. The marches, the protests, hell, the riots. They're coming. They don't keep on coming. Sharpton comes out. This is a play. I mean, listen, if we're not tired of Transformers 58, we're not going to be tired of Sharpton 32 on film. We keep on doing it over and over again. That arithmetic will be figured out so quickly. Black man, we scratch our heads. Don't know what to do about that. Come on. The world is watching. The world is watching now. That's my issue. The world, thanks to World Star Hip Hop, the world is watching. I cut you off, Bison. What were you saying?
I was going to say, I'm going to skip something, but one day, I don't know if you ever did. I've been going over your, your old podcast, but I don't know. Were you there when that girl Kimball was at Hampton?
No, but I might have been a couple of years after that, but I know of the Kimba story, yeah.
Okay. It's some lessons out of that. I know it's like I'm hopping all over the place, but it's all about choices, and we're doing wrong. We think by doing wrong so much that it becomes right. It never becomes right. Wrong is wrong.
Yeah, wrong is wrong.
And I think we just going to have to start. We've had a moral decline in the Black American community within the last 30, 25 years. And no one is standing up to it. And if you stand up to it, you're looked at as a moron, a square, a nerd, whatever, insert any type of derogatory comment you want. But we got to start standing up. And it doesn't matter what a person's political affiliations are, what part of the country they're from, what type of accent they have. We still worry about that superficial stuff. But we're just having a moral slide, like you've been saying. We're becoming irrelevant. We're being phased out. Sure, we have a Black family in the White House, but we're being wiped off the map in every other category.
Yes, that's my point. I even opened that up when I called up Shot 97. That's what I said. I said we are becoming irrelevant because of this. We are doing the same. Our responses are the same. As I said, I actually got it wrong slightly. When I said that Albert Einstein, and it's been attributed to Albert Einstein, it might be even other people that have made the same statement, but repeating the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is the definition of insanity. And I got to tell you one more thing. I'm very much into old-time adages because the truth is as clear as glass. I was thinking about this recently because there's something else that Charlemagne said, again referencing the Brilliant Idiots podcast. And check them out. I'm always going to say check them out. SoundCloud, YouTube. He often goes into ageism and ageist talk. I think it's something that I didn't play for you. I didn't record it. But he said something about Funkmaster Flex, who's another well-known radio personality. It's really irrelevant what he said, but he went into the man's age, as they always do, as if you would never get older. But he was going into this whole thing about, well, it's always a young man, an old man trying to keep up with a young man or trying to sound hip. It's always this defecation on older people. And I was thinking about George Bernard Shaw. I want the audience to wiki George Bernard Shaw, famous playwright, also a co-founder of the London School of Economics. Very well known, very renowned, lived to be almost 100 years of age. White guy, incidentally. Since people are tribal, he was white. But he was very ahead of his time, very radical. I believe he was even a socialist. And I'm saying this as a conservative. He's a socialist. But I will say what he's the one that allegedly termed he said that youth is wasted on the young. And I've heard that term for many years. I know all of us listening, it's nothing. We've heard it before. Youth is wasted on the young. And and after hearing Charlemagne going into that whole diatribe, it kept on. I might even have OCD. I don't know, Captain. But I kept on repeating, youth is wasted on the young. And I said, I figured it out even deeper. Youth is wasted on the young. After the emphasis, youth is wasted on the young. Because, listen, we know what it means. Ultimately, we know that if when you're young, you're at the height of your physical prowess.
You know, you can run fast, you can jump high, but you are a dum-dum. So when you hear young folk talk about this stuff and they give you their opinions, you have to think once again of George Bernard Shaw. Stitch in Time Saves Nine, all that stuff, they are immortal truths. And what it says, the young folk, they will tell you you're not hip, you don't know what you're talking about, sit down, old man. They say stuff like that. If you're Big Daddy Kane, if you're Drez, if you're Chuck D, sit down, old man. But let me holler at you, young one. Let me get this straight. You're not making it past 18. You're not making it past 20. You're not making it past 25. So I'm supposed to listen to what you say. But the man that's made it to 50, 60, 70, 80, damn near 100, we can't listen to that man. Again, youth is wasted on the young, for real. For real, an immortal truth. I mean, really think about these statements that are long-time statements. It doesn't make any sense. You can't listen to these young people. They're dying by the hundreds, but they're going to tell you how it is. They got it all figured out. Catherine, am I making sense?
Absolutely. You're making plenty of sense. You're definitely making plenty of sense.
I mean, I go off on tangents, and I look up these great people. But look up George Bernard Shaw. Look up about his look up his feelings on eugenics. Get this. He was a proponent of eugenics, but he's a proponent of miscegenation. So he wasn't well liked. He wasn't well liked. I believe he had a short story about something about a black girl. I forgot the name of the short story. Something about a black girl. I'll have more information on Saturday. But he believed in eugenics, that the races should actually intermingle. So he was dangerous. Dangerous white guy, radical white guy. And again, youth is wasted on the young. He came up with that, allegedly. So the man was a thinker, critical thinker.
Let's be careful. Let's not paint all young people with the same brush. You know, that would make us guilty as any other race. There are a lot of young people doing the right thing.
You're right. And we will highlight them. You're most certainly right. I guess what I'm saying is there's this very knee jerk reaction, and there is an ageism thing out here. When you're just a little bit older, you don't know what you're talking about. Sit down, go away. That whole attitude. And I'm saying, wait a minute, but you guys are not making it to 30. So I don't know if I can really listen to what you say. I don't know if what you say really counts. Not everybody. I'm just saying maybe the brilliant idiots. And I'm not even talking about the podcasters. I'm just talking about just the young folks that swear to you up and down that they got it figured out, but they're not making it past 18. I don't know if what you say can really be counted. Just logically. I got to think logically. Because they're very at ease at discounting someone who's a bit older, more mature, has seen it before. Imagine how brilliant someone would be if they were young, but they got it from the folks that have been here before who have figured it out. Imagine how dangerous you would be.
I read something where younger people are just not as tied to institutions as we were, churches, schools, organizations, what have you. I mean, with the internet, I'm just kind of regurgitating what I read, especially with this young millennials and the group that's coming behind the millennials. They're just not tied to institutions or etiquettes or whatever that held us and kept us going when we were younger. So, few people are going to church, synagogue, or what have you. I mean, I don't want to get into that discussion, but it's just, the moral, the sense of respect, the sense of dignity, the moral fiber and center is just not as prevalent with a lot of younger people as it once was.
No, it's not. Listen, Bison, we gotta go. Unfortunately, the time is up. 2 hours, very easy. We'll pick it up again on Saturday. Remember, we have the Grindhouse show. We'll lighten the mood, pop culture, Uncanny Daryl B. The captain will be in attendance. We'll get into it. We got to go, unfortunately. Bison, as always, continue supporting. Saturday, 6 p.m., do it again. Always a pleasure. This is Bilal. Bilal, Siren 2. See you on Saturday. Thank you.